flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Gentlemen, the weekend.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin. Wake up!
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
Everybody, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It's great to be with you live from Padres Fantasy Camp, last day out here in Peoria, Arizona. And it is the whole crew together for a short time, for sure. I'm about to split and head over to the stadium for our the consolation game, I guess, as it were, at at 8 a.m. It is still pitch black outside. It is freezing. I am in full uniform right now, but look, it's good to be here with you. We'll get into some of the absolutely depressing news that we got yesterday. I'm Woodsy. That's Ben Higgins. He's your friendly, and I do mean friendly, neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, Woodsy. How consoled do you feel by being in the consolation game?
Not very.
I just don't think it's – maybe it's the wrong name.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone in that game is feeling a great deal of consolation this morning.
No, it's more of the punishment game. But listen,
The embarrassment game,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Paulie Reindl's the executive producer, joins us as well. Good morning, Paulie.
I just refer to it as the dip-ass game. Mm-hmm. I've played in it twice. I know it very well.
Yep.
It is currently 35 degrees.
35 out there. Yeah. Woo, mama.
Yeah.
Game kicks off in less than an hour, which is insane. I think I'll be playing baseball out there in an hour. You can't even see anything. I think let's start, obviously, with the news that broke yesterday, which I had mentioned hearing here early in the morning. I mentioned on the show yesterday that I had heard from a couple of sources in this building here that Jerickson Profar was going to be signing with the Atlanta Braves.
See, that's how you do it. You broke some news.
I did.
You gave all of our listeners a little heads up to some news that was coming. You were right. You heard correctly. You said, hey, sources, it's not finalized, but I've heard some rumblings, and the rumblings were, in fact, accurate about Jerickson Profar.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you, I would have loved to be wrong about that one. Mm. You know, that's one I would have loved to look like a fool because, you know, obviously when you – When you take the spine out of a team, you know what I'm saying? Like, the team is going to be they're going to be a lot different without a Jerickson Profar on it. And I'm very happy for Jerickson Profar that he got his bag, because you're talking about a guy that made $1 million last year. All right, Frank, that'll do. Not today. Yeah, not today. You're talking about a guy that made $1 million last year, came in here on a bargain, played his ass off, and played his heart out, and now, you know, he's gotten a huge raise. He's going to be making, what, $14 million bucks a year?
Technically $12 million this year, 12, and 15 each of the following 2 years.
I mean, that's life-changing money for the Profar family. So he's a great dude. We love him. We'll see him opening day, probably starting in left field for the Atlanta Braves, but certainly was a shock and kind of a kick in the gut. And I think Padres fans are, well, I'll tell you, just from the reaction I saw last night, they're incredibly, incredibly angry right now. Incredibly angry. It's been a tough offseason.
I was angry.
Yeah, I was angry too. I was not happy about it, man.
I was extremely happy for Profar and his family. He deserves his bag. But, man, that's a guy that is really tough to replace, not just on the field.
Yeah, of course. Production is one thing, you know.
He gave you a lot of production, too, last year.
He did. Gave you really, really good production. We had Mike Petriello on, who dug into Jerks and Profar's reinvigoration in his career and said, no, I'm buying it. I'm buying, and you guys should buy it, too. And, well, we didn't, but the Atlanta Braves did. And I think that's the other thing, too, Benny. I was talking to Adam Klug about it last night, who's our boss, and he's born a Braves guy. And he goes, well, I mean, look, it's a lot of dough for Jerks and Profar. Do we know he's not going to turn back into a pumpkin? And I said, well, that's pretty much every free agent. I mean, there's a couple of sure things out there. I said, but, you know.
14 mil is pretty good price for an all-star outfielder.
That's what I said. And I go, you know what scares me about it is the fact that Alex Anthopoulos, who's a really good and smart GM, that he decided to make that move. And so when he did, I said, well, if Alex made it, it's probably a pretty smart move.
What was Adam sent us over a clip from some article. I don't know where it came from, but it said that the reporting was that the Braves had scouted Profar at the very beginning of the offseason as the second best hitter available behind Juan Soto.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what their numbers had told them.
Yeah, Jurickson brings a tremendous amount to the table offensively as a switch hitter with a good eye who always, even in his down years, usually has a pretty decent on-base percentage.
Which is just king,
you know? And if he adds a little pop like he did last year, it's not, he's not just a utility-type player anymore.
Right.
There's a reason he was an all-star. It was the whole package last year. Now, defensively, he's below average, and, you know, he's not going to steal you a ton of bases. But the most valuable thing in baseball right now is getting on base and power. And Jurickson showed both of those things last year. Plus, as you said, the intangibles of always being a favorite teammate, great guy in the clubhouse, adds a little bit of fire and edge to any locker room that he's in, makes valuable, you know, makes Jurickson a very valuable commodity in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no kidding. And again, for $14 million, you know, you thought it would be, I've seen both sides of the spectrum. I've seen people saying, oh, man, what an overpay for Jurickson Profar. And the way I look at it, it's kind of the going rate, you know, right now for guys like that with those kind of numbers. So clearly, Padres didn't do it, didn't want to do it, and he's now an Atlanta Brave.
Yeah, what I saw, I think, reported from the UT is that they talked to Jurickson, but they were nowhere near a $42 million offer.
Yeah.
That they were looking to something at a lower level, would have loved to have had him back, but they weren't even approaching the kind of offer that the Atlanta Braves put together.
You know, and as depressing as that was, you know, I was talking to my wife back home, and she said, man, there's fires, and I saw a couple of people on Twitter talking about the fires in Otay Mesa right now, and they're still going on, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Please, if you're out there, take care of yourself. What's that app, Paulie?
Watch Duty.
Watch Duty. Make sure you have the Watch Duty app.
You sign up. I actually, I was on the app the other day, and Andy Ashby walks over and goes, what the hell is that? And I showed him how to do it.
Yeah.
You can set up the notifications for San Diego County. If you're in San Diego County, you can set it up from anywhere. Wherever you're at, it'll track your location. It lets you know in real time what's going on, where are the evacuations, where are people being sent. It's very, very useful. And yeah, our hearts go out to everybody that's fighting these fires, I got my boy Clay is in the South Bay Fire Department, and I haven't heard from him in a couple days. I reached out to him just to make sure he's okay. But, man, those guys are working around the clock.
Yeah.
And I just hope everybody's okay.
Just a little bit of good news. I did see there is rain in the forecast Saturday night into Sunday and Monday, which would be extremely helpful, you know, in obviously tamping down the fires and minimizing our drought and dry brush conditions that are contributing to all of the fires in Southern California, Los Angeles, and San Diego as well. So keeping our fingers crossed that we can get a little wet weather this weekend.
Yeah, terrible, man. We got one of our tier ones in there. Josh is my nephew's live in Otay, and their mom is packing things up and getting ready to evacuate. So, yeah, it's getting a little close for comfort out there, as Jaime says in the chat, too. So, listen, please take care of yourselves. Please evacuate if you need to evacuate. You guys do what you're supposed to do, and you know, everything can be replaced, but your life cannot be replaced. So make sure you you do what you need to do and take care of yourselves out there.
How'd you guys do yesterday in fantasy camp? Give us a little update as we go into the last day. Obviously, you're playing in the consolation game, so that's not a
We won.
It's not a good. Oh, you won!
Yeah,
congratulations.
We had a walk-off, and it turns out all I needed was a little bit of public embarrassment and a kick in the ass from Brett Boone. Because I had a monster game yesterday. I had four hits, four for four, three barrels. Made every play at every play but one at short, and had a really, really good game.
So if you missed it yesterday, Brett Boone came on and pretty much dissected Woods mentally.
Yeah,
and basically accused you of being a well, kind of a mental midget when you went out to the field. You got all the skills, you
mental
know,
little person.
You look like you could. That's true.
Yeah,
you got all the skills that looks like you could be a great ball player, but then it doesn't translate out onto the field.
Which is weird because I play better. Paulie can attest to this. I hit better in adult league back home with tougher pitching than I do out here. I think I'm trying to do too much and trying to impress instead of just letting the game come to me. When I'm with my guys on the weekends, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to go out and win a ball game. I need to have the same mentality. He's absolutely right. So I did. I strode up to the plate yesterday. I don't care. I'm going to wait one more click on the fastball, and boom, into the gaps we go. So I had a great time, a really fun game. Thanks to Brett Boone for kicking me in the ass. I hope I have another one today, and I'm really ready to get home and see my kids. I miss my kids terribly, terribly. FaceTimed with them last night, and they discovered creamsicles for the first time ever. So they were, I caught them right in the middle of eating creamsicles, and Taylor said he started eating the orange part, and then he goes, I don't want this part. I don't like this butter in it. I said, it's not butter. It's,
butter.
It's like ice cream. He goes, I don't like butter in my orange. My orange popsicle.
Oh, okay.
So I said, well, listen, boys, Dad's coming home tomorrow. We got a flag football game tonight for Bo. I can't wait to grab him. A week away from him is way too long.
I believe it's vanilla ice cream.
It's vanilla ice cream.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, it's not butter.
It's not butter.
It's butter.
Vanilla ice cream. And, Paul, you guys lost, but you're in the third place game, so you should be around for most of the show.
Yeah, I'll be around for just up until the last, probably the last segment of the show. And don't know how, but we lost in another walk-off fashion yesterday.
God,
our center fielder missed the relay, man, by throwing the ball into right field and allowing the winning run to score.
You see it all, man.
I think you winning actually helped us because somehow, even with the loss, we jumped like two teams and we're in the third place game.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
There we go.
I'm playing for sixth, and you're playing for
I'm playing for seventh,
and you're playing for third.
All right, let's take our first time out here. I think we really need to face once again, like the reality of what this offseason is going to look like for the San Diego Padres. I sense some confusion from the Padres fan base. Like, what's going on here? Why are the Padres not able to sign a guy like Jurickson Profar?
Yeah.
Or anybody.
Anybody.
Well,
anybody.
And again, I can go through what we know, what we don't know, and you know, try to at least you know, talk it over about what's going on here with the Padres this offseason. We can do that coming up. Get some traffic from Kelly Danick, see if any of the roadways impacted by the fires back home in San Diego, and then we will be back with more Padres Fantasy Camp. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Right, back live at Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona. We're just a couple of weeks away from Padres spring training beginning, and obviously there's going to be some empty lockers, or at least some faces that were here in the past that won't be. Jurickson Profar being one of them after he agreed to a three-year, $42 million deal with the Atlanta Braves yesterday. And Woods, you saw it, you know, fans, a lot of unrest yesterday.
Not just yesterday.
It's been
months of unrest.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to go through what at least we think we know and what we don't know from the Padres this offseason. Because, as you know, the Padres don't, they don't really talk officially about what their payroll level is going to be, what they can and cannot afford. So we have to kind of go with what they've done recently in the past, some of the reporting that's been out there.
Well, before we you go into the autopsy, essentially, of what it is, I think it's important to say, and I talked to you about this a little bit last night, every single athlete we've ever covered, ever, we've asked them, hey, what did it feel like to be traded? What was it like to be on the trading block? What was it like to be cut? What do they always say? Hey, I'm a professional. Talk to me like a professional. Treat me like a professional. Tell me I'm not a part of your future plans. We just heard Nick Castellanos talking about this. Calls Dave Dombrowski. Dave, are you trading me? No, I'm not trading you, Nick. Great. Okay, let me know if you do. Thank you. There's been zero word. And I'm not saying that there needs to be, Eric Kinsenda needs to be on the radio saying, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. But I do think there needs to be something. And, you know, I wanted the fans to know, and I talked to Adam about it last night. The offer's been made, okay? We've offered the platform. It has not been accepted. So I can't force somebody to talk. I'm not going to walk down into Petco Park and kick somebody's door down. But the fans do need to hear something at some point from someone.
What would you like to hear, though?
I mean, that's what I'm telling you. Shoot me between the eyes. If you're going to tell me, hey, guys, we're probably not adding anyone, okay, I can deal with it. If you tell me we are still grinding and busting ass behind the scenes to try to get a free agent, to try to get somebody in here, fine, I can handle it. But shoot me between the eyes. To not say anything and have, I mean, dude, you saw what was happening last night on Twitter. You guys saw that, right? People being doxxed and things like that. Like, yeah. Come out and give us something at some point.
Well, it's been fairly widely reported, and we've seen it from Kevin Acey, that the Padres are once again trying to stay under the luxury tax level, as they did last year. They had to lower their payroll by about $90 million to get under the luxury tax last year.
Yep.
This year, they are trying to stay under the luxury tax, and their payroll is actually going up from last year.
Because of people getting raises.
Because of it's like been $30 to $40 million in new payroll already this offseason, just based on arbitration raises to players like Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez.
Guys get raises.
Michael King, whatever he gets.
It goes up.
So the payroll's actually gone up, which makes it even harder to stay under the luxury tax level. So this is kind of the reality that we're looking at.
Now that's our assumed reality that they want to stay under the tax.
And I'm not trying to defend or make excuses. I'm just trying to explain what we think we know and what we don't know. We also know for a fact, it's been reported, that when Peter Seidler was alive and owning the Padres, he blew way past the luxury tax in 2023. And we also have heard that the Padres got their hands slapped by Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
They went out of the debt service rules. The commissioner's office said that's unacceptable and told the Padres what's what and that they cannot do that anymore. And they have to essentially lower their payroll to get into financial compliance with Major League Baseball rules. Hence, last offseason when they traded Juan Soto, lowered the payroll by a lot.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair to assume, and again, I'm not saying this to defend the organization in any way.
Because you hope you're wrong.
But I think it's fair to assume that Major League Baseball is not going to let the Padres add a lot of payroll this offseason.
Correct.
And
well, especially when there's not even a control person named yet.
Right.
We don't even know who's calling the shots
per se. Does it change? Because we had I don't think it's going to.
I think maybe Peter Seidler had enough, you know, push and in Major League Baseball that says, hey, I want to do what I want to
do.
Now, without Peter Seidler, Major League Baseball is not going to let the San Diego Padres get out of hand financially.
Well, Peter Seidler's not coming back, so when does it...
When do we get to shift directions? Let's face the reality. The Padres, like 24 or 5 teams in Major League Baseball that aren't, you know, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Yankees, and the Mets, are not going to be going over the luxury tax, at least not very often. So they have to stay within that luxury tax level. And that's not – I don't think that's really negotiable, unfortunately. That's just kind of the financial reality of Major League Baseball. They got to work within that luxury tax level, as most teams do.
Sure.
You can be unhappy about it, but I don't think there's much that can be done about that. Is that something that anybody out there disagrees with, or do they feel like that's probably a fair reality right now?
No, I think that is it's a fair assumption to make.
Now, you can put together a really good team and stay under the luxury tax, but right now, to do that, the Padres are going to have to make some hard choices. If you wanted to add Jurickson Profar, because they're already probably a million or two over the luxury tax. So if you wanted to add Jurickson Profar for $14
million, you're blowing way past
you have to shave $14 million somewhere else, which would mean trading either Dylan Cease or Luis Arraez or maybe Robert Suarez and another player. Very valid. You could make that argument that you'd rather have Jurickson Profar than Dylan Cease, or you'd rather have Jurickson Profar than Luis Arraez. But you could also make the argument the other way. Rather keep Luis Arraez and Dylan Cease,
yeah,
and unfortunately say, hey, Jurickson, we love you, but we've got to let you go because this is the reality we're playing with right now.
But now,
to me what we're looking at this offseason.
Well, yeah, but now you've Jurickson's not coming back, and you still have Dylan, you've got Luis Arraez. Do you think that they will be on the roster opening day? Because if they're over the luxury tax right now, that means they're going to have to shave some more money off the luxury tax. Who's next to go? You know, losing another spot to get under a luxury tax. And again, you know, resetting that thing. Yeah, it's not something that we want. It's not something that Peter would have wanted at all. We know that. But yeah, without him here, and without, like you said, his push per se with Major League Baseball, they're not going to. We don't know who is calling the shots right now, and I think that's part of the reason why nothing's been done. So what did AJ? I don't blame AJ at all. Like, he's probably working his tail off trying to do something. I am surprised that some trades haven't been made. That's the one thing. That's the one area he's always been able to just go, I want to do this, I want to do this.
And my guess would be he hasn't made any trades because he hasn't found one that he likes. I don't think anyone would stop AJ from making financially neutral trades.
Right.
You know, he can't add a bunch of payroll. You can trade players all the time. There's no doubt that you know he's allowed to do that and likely will at some point do that. But there is this reality that I think that. Now, would you be happy if the Padres came out and said, yeah, Major League Baseball said we can't go over the luxury tax?
Yes, that would at least, again, it gives me an idea of what my guess
would be that Major League Baseball doesn't want to be the bad guy or be seen as tipping the scales. So they probably told the Padres, you can't say that we're not letting you. But everyone knows it. Everyone knows this.
They're already the bad guy. You know what I mean? They're already the bad guy in my eyes. So, I think letting people know up front. And again, you don't have to reveal your whole plan. You know, we've talked about that a lot, you know, but at some point somebody needs to talk to the fan base and say, look, we are actively trying to add players or we are handcuffed in adding players.
I think reading the handwriting on the wall, the latter is the case.
But
they are they're handcuffed.
Sure, but when
and
you,
they can't do anything. And they don't want to just come out and say that though, when you allow your fan base
to read the writing on the wall, they don't always discern it well. Hence why you saw last night.
I think they're discerning it correctly, that there's really not a lot they can do right now.
No, they're not.
I don't know that coming out and saying we can't do anything is going to make the fan base feel any better.
Not better. It's just clarity. Again, shoot me between the eyes. Don't shoot me in the leg and let me bleed out. You know, again, there needs to be some sort of statement from somebody up there. At some point, FanFest is this weekend. Somebody's got to say something, right? And as I said last night, as I talked to Adam has made the offer. And it's not happened yet. I think they're looking for a little more clarity up there in the front office as well. So we can keep talking about it.
We just got news. You're getting a little frost delay. Your game's been pushed back an hour, so we got more woods this morning, which is great. Jake TV walking in this morning, got coffee for everybody. We will come back, continue our discussion about the Padres' offseason, Jurickson Profar's departure, and more coming up. First, Woods and I want to tell you about trust and will. It is so important for your family's sake just to make sure that you get your wishes known in a legal document that if something happened to you,
yep,
they could pull out and just show and like, okay, here it's all spelled out. We don't have to go through a giant, lengthy probate process. Keep things simple. It can actually save you some money, your family some money if you're gone. And the process, Woods, is very easy.
Yeah, make sure you get that trust as well. That's the only way you can avoid probate court. It's lengthy, it's costly, and it can drag on for years. So I didn't know, man, that so many people, you know, our age and really Americans, have not done this yet, have not gotten a will or trust. It's so critical if you have children as well. If you pass away without a will, the courts, not your family, they get to decide who will raise your children. That doesn't sound ideal to me.
You work so hard to build, you know, buy a house, you know, create a life.
Yeah.
You want that passed down to your children. To make sure that it is, just again, go to trustandwill.com and follow the easy process. Just use the code San Diego, all one word, at checkout. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents at trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com. You'd be surprised, because I was surprised yesterday after I heard about the Jurickson Profar signing. I thought, well, who is left out there? The Padres still need some sort of help in the outfield.
Yeah.
It almost seems impossible that they can, you know, start the season with who they only have right now on the roster.
Well, didn't A.J. Casswell wrote a piece, and he said it would be, you know, as it stands today, it's Lockridge and Tirschaw.
Yeah. Like a platoon.
A platoon.
Which, I mean, yeah, I guess that gives you nine players out on the field, but that's
not ideal.
That would not be ideal to start the season, to rely on guys who have not, you know, performed at the major league level. So I was surprised, and we can get into this, when I started looking at, okay, that's pretty much it, right? Jurickson signed, Santander's out,
yep.
O'Neill got signed. All the big outfielders are gone. Who is left who has any, you know, experience, who could, you know, possibly have a good season in the outfield for the San Diego Padres? And what I learned is that actually quite a few names that are still out there, and I wanted to discuss those, and we can get into those coming up here. First, I want to remind everybody that the Biggest Fan Contest is returning on Monday, January 27th. Our grand prize is a night in the Odyssey Suite with 20 tickets for you and your friends at a future Padres game. Just register your name right now. Do it before Monday at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan, and listen when we announce names each day at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. for your chance to qualify. Hear your name, you call us back, put you into the drawing, a chance to win the big prize, the grand prize, at the end of the contest. All right, you want me to go through some of the names?
Sure.
Of the guys who are still out there? And you know, some of these guys may be completely washed up. Some of them may still have a good season or two left in them. You give me some reaction.
Okay.
Harrison Bader.
No.
Alex Verdugo.
No.
Randall Grichuk.
No.
Mark Canna.
No.
Manuel Margot.
No.
Jason Hayward.
No.
Tommy Pham.
My chair just broke. That's insult to injury. I'll switch it out, leave it for the
Tommy Pham.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly,
100%.
I probably would say of the names that are left.
You wanted an edge?
Given the edge that you've lost in Jurickson Profar?
You lost an edge, you pick up an edge in Tommy Pham immediately.
So, what does the Tommy Pham command?
What does he cost you?
What is he, like $3 million last
year?
Yeah. I mean, quite a bit less than Jurickson. Can he produce anywhere near what Jurickson does? Yes, maybe. Actually, if he has a good season, that is, I think, a very legitimate option. We've heard that A.J. Preller has had discussions with him even after he left the Padres about returning. Tommy has said and indicated an openness at times to returning to the San Diego Padres as well. Is he a perfect ball player? Is he, you know, absolutely the answer? You can't say that for sure. But I would say personally that my attention is now going to be focused on Tommy Pham as a potential addition for the San Diego Padres.
100%. He did not play up to his capabilities in San Diego. He has played up to his capabilities everywhere else he's been. So I'd give him another shot ASAP.
But, like, and those weren't even all the names. That was just kind of the best seven or eight that I saw that are still veteran outfielders available on the market. My guess is that at some point the Padres will add at least one of those guys.
We keep saying this, though. We keep saying at some point they're going to add somebody, and to not add one major leaguer at this point is pretty tough.
Well, based on what we've just been talking about for the last 40 minutes, it sounds like
they
can't
add anybody.
Yeah.
Until they move
someone.
I mean, the Atlanta Braves hadn't added anyone until yesterday, and they've actually lowered payroll quite a bit more than the Padres have increased payroll. The Braves have lowered it. They've lost a number of players, including Max Fried, like big name players that have left in this offseason. Their fan base was screaming for something to be done this offseason as well. Will Jurickson Profar be the one that makes them feel better about their season?
Yeah, they're pretty fired up. I mean, they put the Braves lineup out yesterday, and you saw what it looked like top to bottom. Now, I think they were a more complete team than we were, Ben, a more deep team. They're pretty set now. Jurickson really was a final type piece for them.
It's a hell of an outfield.
And now Jared Kelenic, they have him, and he's a man without a home right now because of the Jurickson Profar signing yesterday. So they're a deeper team. They were closer, I think, to being a more complete team than the Padres were.
They were obviously ravaged by injuries last year.
Crushed by injuries
last
year.
Going into the playoff series against the Padres, seemed like they're kind of a shell of themselves at the end of the year, but they weren't happy with the way their season ended, getting swept out by the Padres in the wild card round, and they're hoping to bounce back this year, but they didn't do it by going out and spending a ton this offseason, that's for sure. And I'm sure Braves fans are going like, hey, we were so close, we want to take a step forward. And I doubt as a Braves fan that you're feeling like losing Max Fried and a couple other guys and landing Jurickson is pushed you well forward from where you were last year.
Yeah, I think they're pretty fired up to get Jurickson. They're getting a good one in Jurickson Profar, and it's going to be wild seeing him in left field for opening day, because that's who we play, the Atlanta Braves. And
of course,
we'll definitely do the we'll definitely do the over under on hits that series. I'm setting it at 5 right now, 5.5, and he may hit the over in those. What, a 3-game set against the Braves to start? So
that'd be 4, actually.
Maybe it's 4. Yeah. So listen, I think everybody that's panicked and dooming right now, I'm with you. I feel you're absolutely justified in feeling so, because it's been pretty quiet. It's been pretty murky. I'm still getting on the daily. Why aren't these guys coming on the air and talking? Why isn't Sheil coming on and talking? And look, here's the thing. This is in litigation. It's in litigation. You didn't see OJ on sports radio in the middle of his trial, right? He wasn't going on Jim Rome or Hacksaw show and said, let me talk about my case.
You got a problem.
Yeah, you've got a problem. You're up for double murder. So, it's different, but it's the same. It's in litigation. No one's going to say anything right now. But, the front office is not in litigation. The front office can come on and say, look, I hear your frustration. I feel it. I can read it. We need to figure it out. Have some faith. Whatever your message may be, but I do think, letting us come in and have to spin out about it and having the fan base spin out about it, I don't know that that's the best course of action either.
Yeah, it's easier to keep a low profile during the off season right now.
Usually.
I mean,
anybody else exhausted from baseball and baseball hadn't even started yet?
I don't know. When was the last time you saw AJ Preller?
I have not seen him, it's
been a while.
I haven't seen him in forever, man.
But that will end shortly. I don't know that he'll be at FanFest next weekend, but he will be here at spring training, and it will be unavoidable. He will have to talk to Sam Levitt. He will have to talk to Dennis Lynn and Kevin Acey. He can't simply just duck and disappear during spring training. They will have to start talking here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The fact that they haven't done it now is not unusual. During the offseason, teams aren't calling press conferences daily. There's no
teams that are signing free agents
to announce the signing of the free agent.
Yeah. I just saw a Tanner Scott press conference. I saw a Roky Sasaki press conference.
But without any signings or trades to announce, teams don't announce State of the Union press conferences in January.
Well, listen, I don't know that everything's cookie cutter. I think it's a case by case basis. And if the front office is gauging the temperature on social media, and I know that they are, it may behoove them to at least try to say, we're in on guys, we're working on guys. You know what I'm saying?
But what if they're not? I mean, this is the problem.
Then I'd still like to know that.
So I'm sure they're seeing the reaction and going, fans want us to sign someone. They want us to add someone. But we can't. Major League Baseball has told us,
But again, we can't. So you're just assuming. You're assuming that Major League Baseball has said you guys are in a holding pattern. You're in a holding pattern. You're frozen. Now, it happens where things get frozen. You can't make moves. Like, it happens with companies all the time. We are in a hiring freeze. We cannot add. I could come into Adam and say, I have found the next big thing in radio. He'll do it for nothing. Guys, we're on a hiring freeze. We can't do it. I can't hire Howard Stern for a dollar. We cannot make another hire. That happens. But I don't know. I mean, we're assuming that Major League Baseball said that, but we don't know. You know, we have no idea. There are a lot of teams right now in baseball that should have the finger pointed at them for doing nothing in free agency. We're one of them. We are one of them. But, you know, we're lumping ourselves in groups like with teams like the Marlins, who have not spent one red cent in free agency. That's the echelon we want to be. That's the level we want to be at. I don't think so.
The Padres have a $100 million payroll higher than the Marlins.
They
do. They're not in the same echelon
at all.
But
they're still – they have both spent $0 on major leaguers. Zero.
Yes, but this is not a snapshot. This is a – you know, years-long process. And when you spend a giant amount of money on stars like Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Fernando Tatis Jr., that is part of your payroll.
The Marlins have not done that with any of their other players. It absolutely is.
You can't hammer the Padres and go, you're just the Marlins. No, they're not.
No. They're not the Marlins. Yeah. They're in better shape than the Marlins. But if you want to do a snapshot, what's the snapshot of free agency so far? 0-0. Right.
AJ has spoken, and you know, even Peter spoke before he passed about, you know, we got 5-year payrolls is what we look at.
Right.
You know, we don't look at one year at a time. We look at 5 years at a time. So yeah, in 2023 we were a little higher than we can afford. So, you know, obviously, what does that mean? When you go over your budget, you know, for 1 year and you've got a 5-year budget, what happens in the following year? You gotta scale it back a little bit.
Yep.
And you know, this is the reaction to being a little bit of an overspender. Then you got to be a little underspending for a little while, and then you can raise it back up again. This is part of that.
Say that. They can
that
say
ebb
that.
And flow.
But they can say
they have said it. They said it a couple of years ago. They've never
say it now.
They've never not said that. That's how they operate say over it. A window. You want to just repeat it again?
That's kind of my point.
You know, this is how we look at. You know, we look at multiple years, and you know, our payroll is going to go up and down during those years. They have said this before, by the way. They have said this before. We look at multiple years at a time. The payroll will fluctuate during those periods, and we will end up in an area where we feel is, you know, sustainable and responsible for the team. Even Peter said
Peter
that
did
before.
Say, Peter
even
said that
Peter
before
said that before he died, that it was a long-term process, and you can't really just take one moment in time and go, hey, they're spending too much. Hey, they're not spending enough. It's not a one-day deal. It's a multiple years deal, and this is where they're at. All right, let's check traffic. Obviously, there's a lot of passion here on this discussion, and I totally get that. Want to talk about Jeff Passan's piece as well at ESPN. It's basically headlined, Are the Dodgers Ruining Baseball? And we'll get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I spent a little time last night reading this piece by Jeff Passan, obviously in response to everything the Dodgers have done this offseason, Woods, all the money they've spent after winning a World Series and then landing Roky Sasaki as well. And I thought he encapsulated it pretty well and agreed with a lot of what I said. In fact, I'm going to skip all the way ahead, you know, how many thousands of words he wrote, to the last paragraph here. And this is what I have been saying for the last couple of weeks. Jeff Passan writes, the greatest drug of sports fandom is belief. And right now, belief in baseball is waning. October has always been the great equalizer, a time when hot teams regularly beat more talented teams. If that happens to the Dodgers in 2025, the Schadenfreude will be strong enough to part the Red Sea. Should the Dodgers become repeat champions, though, the chorus will go louder and the distrust deeper. The stress test has arrived, and for all of the game's resiliency, baseball's future depends on its ability to navigate a situation of its own making. And this is the, as I've said, the anger that other fan bases, not just the Padres, are feeling based on what the Dodgers have been doing. Like, you're playing a different game than everybody else, and this isn't fun anymore to see you just adding all these players when the rest of these teams are all going, we have to be more responsible than you are. We can't play this game that you are because of your TV money, because of your Japan money now. You're on a different playing field, and this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the part about, look, if you, I was thinking about it last night. How many fan bases right now are happy this offseason? Happy. One.
Maybe the Mets fan base getting Juan Soto.
Yeah. But they're also, if you're a Met fan and you're like, we have a first baseman that is sitting out there, and, you know, yeah, it's going to cost us some money, but he's hits a lot of home runs for us, and I know he had a down year last year and still hit a lot of home runs, and he's kind of a part of our team, and we're not signing him. Met fans are happy, but they ain't, nobody's feeling like a Dodger fan right now this offseason. So, yeah, that's definitely something that needs to be looked at.
I think you said it well. I mean, you don't want to go into a season where only one fan base is feeling really, truly excited and optimistic about their team's chances going into the year, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have 29 teams going, best case scenario, hey, everyone performs great. We could definitely be the second best team in baseball.
Right.
Which is, I think, even what the Mets are kind of, and their fans are kind of thinking. Now, does that mean they can't beat the Dodgers in a playoff series? As Passan wrote, yes, that's the equalizer in the playoffs. It's a short series. Anything can happen there. But in the regular season, everyone's playing for second place right now.
Pretty much.
In baseball.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's the ceiling at this point. And I don't think I've ever been able to say that. Maybe when the Yankees were at their absolute peak in the late 1990s, you felt like, yeah, I'm pretty sure the Yankees are going to have the best regular season record in baseball this year. But nothing like going into this year.
Yeah.
Nothing like, I'm pretty sure the Dodgers are going to be at least 10 games better than anybody else in baseball.
Yeah.
Going into this year.
Yeah, it's again, you know, and that's been the case for them for a few years now. I mean, you know, what'd they win last year?
90.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a disappointment. I mean, that was the one where it was like, man, that team, the way that they're constructed, should win easily over 100 games, and they didn't. But, hey, look, they got the ultimate prize last year.
A lot of pitching injuries.
Yeah, a lot of injuries.
And still they almost won 100 games.
Yeah.
They won't have that. Their starting win total will not be with a 9.
Well, that 99-win team or whatever, they've added Blake Snell, Roky Sasaki, Tanner Scott, brought back
Teoscar. Tommy Edmond, brought him back. Yeah, they're going to be nasty, for sure. And like I said, there's one fan base happy right now. It's definitely not ours, man, that's for sure. And yeah, but again, I do think, you know, I do think we're reaching a fever pitch right now with Padres fandom, and not in a good way. Not in a good way. It's been a real, real tough off season so far, and I just don't know. It's just so hard to discern what the plan is. Because, all right, Ben, you know, you're talking about you wanting to get under the luxury tax. Why haven't they traded Cease, King, or Arise yet? Because they can't find the deal that they want?
They don't need to trade those guys at this point.
They're, get under, though.
But they don't have to start the season under. They're so close that they're okay right now. They just can't add a big amount at the moment. They can stay where they are and be okay. They just can't add a big amount right now.
Yeah.
And so they have not added a big amount right now. Well, will they? They could. They may still do that. And that's, you know, we'll be following that story, obviously. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two, starting to see some fantasy camp coaches arrive. I also want to get you updated on the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. It was kind of a wild day yesterday. All that coming up with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.